The anti-30-meter telescope protest on Mauna Kea will soon enter its third month. Many of the demonstrators who first assembled at the base of the Mauna Kea access road were students or faculty at the University of Hawaii. The protest began over the summer, but classes are now back in session. We wanted to find out how the university is handling potential absences from the classroom. HPR's Ryan Finnerty spoke with Deborah Halbert. She's the Associate Vice President for Academic Planning and Policy at UH.
Well, we're just reminding faculty about the existing policies and procedures regarding duty date, regarding the courses that they're teaching, regarding making sure that students that are in the classes are having access to the courses that they had signed up for. So we've just tried to remind folks of the existing policies and procedures. There are no new policies and procedures that we've devised for this because for the most part, I think we have in place the things we need to do to make sure that the start of the school year goes smoothly.
And so what are some of those policies that are in place for an event like this?
Well, so for example, most of our instructional faculty are nine-month employees, which means that they have summers where they are not employed by the university, and we don't see them on campus much. And of course, they can go and do whatever they want when they're not employed by the university. But the official duty date began, and that means that faculty do need to be on campus for the different department meetings that they may have scheduled, for orientations, to meet with students. And again, a lot of this is happening at the departmental level. It's not overseen, certainly, by the University of Hawaii system or the vice chancellors or the chancellors on the campuses, but is really being driven by the departments and what their needs are.
And so for any event, not just specifically Mauna Kea, but if a faculty member needs to or wants to be away, how is that handled?
So we have travel forms. So any faculty who would be traveling for a professional conference or for business related to the university would submit a travel form. That travel form would be approved by their department chair and by the dean of their college. And they would have to give a reason for why they were traveling. They would have to give who's funding the travel in the form. They would have to explain the dates of travel. And all of that is overseen both by the colleges at the University of Hawaii, Manoa. Obviously, at some of the other campuses that are smaller, it would go through a slightly different process. And then it's approved or disapproved based on what is in there. And there's also a lot of oversight to make sure that if you're going for a conference, for example, you're not staying an extra week to do something else unless there's a legitimate professional reason to do so. Faculty also can travel for research purposes, and that may be due to their individual research or a project that they have to do. So faculty are traveling for those purposes as well.
So a conference or something like that is typically a pretty short-term event.
Really short.
What's going on in Mauna Kea, everybody said it's not going to end anytime soon.
Right.
So how would the university approach a situation where you have a faculty member that's saying, I'm not going to be back for a while, or has that been raised?
So we would have to deal with that on a case-by-case basis. Nobody has said they're not appearing for their duty date, to my knowledge, as of today. And certainly, I think what faculty are trying to do is provide an educational opportunity for students who may want to take classes remotely or have other means of engaging in the academic materials that they're interested in. But the faculty themselves, we've, again, communicated, need to be present for the classes that they have been assigned to teach.
And I know in the memo that went out to faculty, it did mention the remote teaching platform. Could you tell me a little bit about what that is and how it works?
Well, we've been developing since at least the 90s different kinds of distance learning technologies. So we have on campus a HITS program, which allows you to be in a room like this with a television screen and be in another classroom on a different island. So we have those technologies in place. But obviously, online learning in the 21st century is an important component of any higher education landscape. And so we've been embracing and building out online courses for quite a few decades now. And in fact, have just launched a new online associate's degree for returning adults. And so this is part of how we teach these days. And for example, many classes in the summer that we offer are online because both students and faculty are traveling, and it just makes for a more fluid kind of approach to higher education and learning. And interestingly, when we think of our transfer students, many of them coming out of the AA or out of our community colleges, end up transferring to online universities as opposed to some of our 4 years. So we really do need to be building out our online degree opportunities. And so what's happening with the classes that are being offered online for the fall is no different than what, again, we would see happening for any kind of semester. It's just reminding students that they have these as opportunities. And that's really, I think, what faculty, for the most part, have been doing, is saying, look at the classes that we have that you can take and not be present at this particular campus.
Is it possible to have a physical class and then a student who's enrolled in that class that's away, say on Mauna Kea or wherever, mm-hmm. to come in remotely? So can you combine those two, or is it all either in person or distance?
It would have to be up to the faculty and their attendance policies and how they're shaping them. Certainly with modern technology, with Skype and BlueJeans and any number of different technologies that allow for you to do hybrid kinds of classes, there are faculty that have been experimenting with those as well. I know the College of Ed has a lot of classes that are hybrid, so students can go via our learning management system and they have a scheduled call and everyone is on there symmetrically. So you'd still be in the class, you just wouldn't be physically in the class. So yeah, those are options too. And again, these are all things that have been in place for years and many faculty have been taking advantage of them and experimenting with different modalities because we try to meet the needs of the students. And lots of students work full-time, lots of students have families, lots of students are trying to commute to the campus, and it takes a long time to do that. And so there's a lot of reasons why they may have difficulty getting to a physical campus. And so really what's happening in this particular situation is no different from what we see happening in any of our other classes where students are trying to get the classes they need to graduate.
And on the student side, if mm-hmm. a student is enrolled in a conventional physical class mm-hmm. and then decides that they can't be there for some period of time, whether to mm-hmm. go to Mauna Kea or for a personal reason. Mm-hmm. Is there a blanket university policy for how that's handled, or is it done, does each instructor kind of make a decision?
So there's a couple different levels to that answer. One is that for financial aid purposes, faculty need to report when students stop attending class or that students started attending class. And that is obviously so that students can get the financial aid that they had applied for, but if they're not taking a class, then they're not going to get the financial aid for that class. So there's that dimension to it, where students do have to show up and we have to report that for financial aid. But the other piece is that faculty do make their own attendance policies. And so those can be very restrictive. It could be you can miss one class and then your grade goes down, or they can be more flexible. And faculty tend to work with students, especially if students are having family issues or are sick. As a general rule, there's a lot of ways that faculty try to work with students over attendance policies. But it is ultimately the faculty member's decision on how they will enforce the attendance policy. We've encouraged and reminded people that those need to be fair and equitable to all students.
And yeah, and how do you go about ensuring fairness in those policies, since it is being handled by each individual professor?
So as a general rule, the course syllabus will include an attendance policy on it, and then the goal would be to make sure that attendance policy is enforced, whatever it is that it says.
Is there, specifically with this case of Mauna Kea, it mm-hmm. is a very emotional and political issue.
Yeah.
How do you go about ensuring fairness with a highly charged event like that?
Well, I think all of our faculty are professionals. They know how to teach their classes. They know how to engage in difficult conversations and to create a framework in which debate can happen and ideas can be exchanged. And so we rely on them as professionals to do their job.
And so if there's students out there who are trying to find out more as mm-hmm. the school year starts, where can they go to get more information?
So I would suggest that for this and any other reason, students should go and talk with their advisors. That's one place to start. They should certainly go and talk to their advisors in their departments. So if they have already declared a major, they should find out what's going on in their department. And then it's really engaging with their individual courses and the faculty members that are teaching those courses.
Okay, great. Debbie, thanks so much for your time today.
Yes, thank you.
That was Deborah Halbert, Associate Vice President for Academic Planning and Policy at the University of Hawaii, talking with HPR's Ryan Finnerty about absences in the classroom.